Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your role with the film.
This is Michael Streisguth, and I'm the director of the Tower Road Bus documentary film.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. It's great to be with you.
Give me the basic premise of how it takes place right here in Prince George's County. You know, this civil rights story that maybe people here don't know about.
So Prince George's County, back in the 1960s and 1970s, had really slow walked the implementation of the Brown versus Board of Education decision by the Supreme Court in 1954, which basically said that you couldn't practice segregation in public schools. And so a court order comes down in the early 1970s. The federal government is putting pressure also on Prince George's County to implement very widely school integration in the public schools. And so you have in the early 1970s a very, very quick implementation of integration, and it's happening mostly through busing. There's a lot of protests, a lot of controversy over this in the county. And the film is really choosing to look at that issue through the experiences of one school in particular in Clinton, Maryland, and that is Crestview Elementary School. And that's where Dotson Burns Jr. became the first African-American principal of a majority white school in the county.
So Dotson Burns Jr. was the black principal at Crestview Elementary School, which was, you know, a predominantly white elementary school, obviously, at that time. So where does the title Tower Road come in? I assume, is that the bus route, the Tower Road bus, where they were picking kids up and taking them to elementary school?
That's exactly right. There was a community, an African-American community near Brandywine, Maryland, that was along Tower Road. And the powers that be in the county designated most of the elementary school age children of that area to be bused into the majority white Crestview Elementary. So the film also profiles a number of the former students who lived on Tower Road and their experiences as being on the front lines of integration. And really, the film also gets into many of the African-American teachers who were integrating white schools. And again, looks at their experience as agents of integration. And I grew up in Prince George's County, and I actually attended Crestview Elementary School. And I was so happy in retrospect, looking back on it, to be raised in a integrated school environment. But I had my integration served to me. It was a predominantly white neighborhood, a predominantly white school. I'm white. I didn't have to do anything to experience the integration, but so many African-American people were having to be those agents and really sacrifice a lot in that process. And so the film really gets into just what those sacrifices were and what the feelings were of the people who had to be those agents of integration.
Oh, wow. So see, that's cool. I didn't realize you went to Crestview Elementary School. I knew you went to Damascus High School in neighboring Montgomery County for high school, but I didn't realize that you were actually in Prince George's County at this exact elementary school. Well, there you go. That answers my question of how you pinpointed it and you were inspired to do that one. It's just so I have all the details right for the article that's going to go with the radio pieces. When were you at Crestview? Like how long after this?
So I was actually there while this was happening. This film is set in the early 1970s, and it is in 1972 that a federal court in Baltimore told Prince George's County that it needed to integrate and it needed to do now. It needed to do so now. And so late 1972, by early 1973, and I'm talking about January of 1973, 23,000 students were traveling hither and yon across the county, going to different schools to implement and fulfill this integration order. So it was a chaotic time. It was a confusing time. I mean, I think if this were happening now, we probably would slow down and say, hey, let's have some workshops. Let's have some get to know you sessions and things like that before
some
we
orientations. Yeah.
Orientations. Yeah. Let's train the faculty members. Let's train the administrators. But no, that's not how it happened. People were in one school on one day and another school on another day. And that really becomes apparent in the film. And there is some footage of protests going on at schools in Prince George's County. And one amazing thing is that there was so much opposition to this that on Super Bowl Sunday of 1973, when the Washington football team was in the Super Bowl,
right, against the Dolphins,
there was a protest at Rosecroft Raceway of thousands of people who turned out on Super Bowl Sunday. That's how strongly people felt about this.
Wow. And flash forward a couple Super Bowls later, Washington would have the first black Super Bowl quarterback. So there you go. Doug Williams. Crazy how fast things can move. I guess Dotson Burns Jr., I guess he was your principal then, right?
That's correct.
Do you say, hey, you might not remember me, but I'm doing this documentary. Will you sit down and do some interviews? Both for the principal and teachers, and I assume fellow black and white classmates of yours. I mean, I want to know like how you went about reaching out to all three layers like that.
So really, my first stop was Mr. Burns, and I found him living in Fort Washington, where he lives today, and I sent a letter and asked him if he was indeed the principal of Crestview during the 1970s, and he confirmed that. And we met, and I began to learn about his story and his experiences. And he also pointed me to many of the teachers who are still living and who are in that area, and then many of the students as well. And of course, I had my own contacts with old friends from the school who put me in touch with other students. So that's really how it came about. But as as production continued, it really was clear to me that Mr. Burns had a very fascinating lifelong experience that I could build the film around. He grew up in Jim Crow in Texas during the 1930s and the 1940s. So he lived some very harsh discrimination, which he talks about in the film. Ultimately, he moves to Washington, and the Washington area in the late 1950s is booming. So it's pretty easy to come by teaching jobs. He and others got into the school system, got into the Prince George's County system, which at the time was one of the largest in the country, then had to navigate this world in which things were rapidly changing around integration. He had many different constituencies in the schools to please. He had the Tower Road kids. He had the community kids. He had the parents in both communities. So it was really a difficult job. And he managed to handle it in a way that didn't necessarily please everybody. I mean, you'll see that there is some criticism of Mr. Burns in the film by some people who weren't satisfied. But it was difficult. It was a difficult time. And it's a credit to him that there wasn't the kind of protests outside Crestview Elementary School that there were at other elementary schools.
Absolutely. That is a testament to him. Do you interview any of your fellow classmates, your former classmates in the documentary as well, either black or white, and to get their memories of this?
Yes, I did. I did. Derek Adams, who lived on Tower Road, and his two sisters, Lisa and Donna. And there's Joey Hoffman, who lived in the Crestview community, who is a retired police officer. So, yes, it was a chance to reunite with many people whom I hadn't seen or talked to in decades.
That's fantastic. How long did it take for you to, let's talk some filmmaking stuff now. You did a great job, breaking down, what the story is about and who you interviewed and all that stuff. But how long did it take take to shoot? Like, I know you're, where you, what, you live up in like Syracuse around there now, right? So tell me just sort of the story of coming back home and setting up shop to film for a while.
Well, we went to DC with a Syracuse crew, and we were full steam ahead in 2018 and into 2019. And then this crazy thing called the pandemic inserted itself into our production schedule. So we were kind of shut down. Finally, toward late 2020, we had one more shoot still to go, and we were able to accomplish that. But fortunately, the major pre-production, the major shooting and all of that took place before the pandemic. And actually, shutting down the period when everything was shut down was a good time to work with my editor, who's named Mike Majoris, and he's in Rhode Island, on actually finishing the film. So we were all done as the world was coming out of the pandemic. We were coming out of the pandemic, and the film was coming out of the pandemic. So it's been nice to get into public places and to share the film in person. Initially, we were screening at film festivals that were online only, and it was great. Particularly, the Alexandria Film Festival in Virginia had a wonderful online program, which included discussion, and the film did win an award for best regional documentary. So now, though, we're able to talk and sit next to each other and really have good face-to-face conversation about that. And I'm thankful for that. It's so much nicer to screen a film in person.
Oh, it always is. But, you know, at the same time, grateful the virtual festivals existed at the time, but it's great that now you can enter in the public spaces. All right. Well, you mentioned before we run, you mentioned that, you know, you won a Best of the Region award at the Alexandria Film Festival. You know, I've got all the laurels and accolades in front of me, but why don't you rattle them off? Brag a little bit. Plug some of the festival honors you've won with this thing so far.
Well, we got festival honors at the Chesapeake Film Festival, which is based in Easton, and also the Ocean City Film Festival. And we've had some wonderful screenings in the academic environment at Bowie State University earlier this year. And these were opportunities in which students could interact with some of the retired professionals, the teachers, and Mr. Burns, the principal, in trying to understand what history is and what life was like in that period of intense school integration. We screened it just a few days ago down at Prairie View A&M University in Texas, where Mr. Burns is an alumnus of the class of 1955. I had some great discussion there, was able to spend a couple of days really spreading the film's wings, if you will. So we've had a good run continuing along those lines.
Do you have any plans? I know right now you're, you know, probably traveling around showing it at various libraries and schools and stuff. Do you plan to show it at Crestview?
Well, Crestview, interestingly enough, is now a police station.
Oh, so I guess you can.
So you, who knows, though, everything is still whole as far as the structure goes. And the old cafeteria, which would have plenty of room for a screening, might be a good place to investigate. And we actually had a major shoot for the film at the elementary school. The Prince George's County Police was just so accommodating in allowing us to do that. We invaded the school on one particular day. And Mr. Burns is in a jazz combo and plays the bass. And so we brought his jazz combo into one of the former classrooms and invited a reunion of former students and former faculty members to come together and talk about these times. So that's portrayed in the film as well. And it makes for, a pretty moment of reflection, I think, as people are experiencing being back in the school and being transported back to those years when it wasn't quite so joyful.
All right. Well, what do we have to, I guess, final seconds? Like, what do we have to do to get this thing, you know, televised broadcast. I feel like it'd be perfect for PBS, or I guess since it's Prince George's County, like get it on MPT, Maryland Public Television. Is that sort of the game plan? Or are you trying to do anything else theatrically? Or, you know, what's the game plan going forward?
Well, actually, very grateful for Howard University Television, WHUT, screened the film during Black History Month last year, during the entire month. And that was a wonderful experience. WHUT has been a great partner of mine over the years. They also screened my Nighthawks on the Blue Highway documentary, which is about the D.C.-based Nighthawks blues band. So very grateful to WHUT. Really now looking for a distributor, perhaps an educational distributor who can take this film into places that I just can't.
Awesome. Well, it's called the Tower Road Bus Documentary. Thanks so much for taking so much time to join us today. I'm glad we could finally make this happen.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate your interest very much.